Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Oldie But A Goodie is brought to you by Shakespeare Aliens. The Runaway stage show hit is back at Gasworks Theatre for Melbourne Fringe this October. Keep listening to this episode for more info on how you can see Shakespeare Aliens.
Imagine a year where Keanu Reeves is in a movie and he raps.
Whoa! What year is that, Sandro?
The year is 2001. One.
And welcome to Oldie But A Goodie, the podcast all about movies from 2001. Oh, we had such a good week last week.
Oh,
such a good movie.
It was the
after
best.
After 10 plus episodes of absolute trash and cats and dogs, depending on who you ask. I think that was trash, but Zach, who's my co-host and my name's Sandro, has the wrong opinion. Hello, Zach.
I, as the wrong opinion, would like to let you know that everyone else agrees with me, but it's everyone else that's wrong. Sandro is right.
Wow. I am correct, after all. This week, I picked a shit film. I mean, I picked a movie called Hardball.
I thought you were always correct, Sandro. You wouldn't pick a bad film, would you?
No, look, I don't pick bad movies. I pick bad options. I don't know how to work my way out of this, but I picked Hardball, and it was terrible. Joining us to review it, the first time she was ever on the podcast, she reviewed a baseball movie, and so we were like, another baseball movie, let's get Jen back. Jen Spears, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's meant to be. Meant to be.
Yeah.
I don't think you pick bad films, Sandra. I think you pick films that that make an interesting discussion, right?
Mm.
Will this make an interesting discussion? I mean, I you messaged me saying you wanted to stop watching it last night.
I'm sorry. I was like, man, Sandro, can I review this without watching the whole thing? He's like, yeah, nah, you got to watch it all, but put it on 1.5 speed to make it easier. I'm like, I will not be able to understand this film if I put it on 1.5 speed. I don't do that often, but I just I struggled.
It's a hard ball to watch.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
Why didn't this work for you, Jen? I feel like we're all going to say the same thing, but why didn't this work for you?
I don't know. Like, look, it's a film that's been made 1,000 times before. It's, you know, struggling sports team gets disgruntled coach and they teach each other something. But it was, I don't know, just the mix was wrong. I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you. It just didn't work. I felt cringe the whole time I was watching it. I felt anxious the whole time I was watching it. I just was uncomfortable the whole time. So,
okay.
Not a fun time for me. And I love baseball. Not enough baseball in this film.
Yeah, there wasn't much baseball in this film.
No.
It was there. It was like, oh, here it is. Anyway, moving on with the more important things over here. Don't worry about the actual baseball in this baseball movie.
There was way too much of his storyline and not enough of the kids playing baseball.
Yeah.
I wanted to see some kids play some sports, you know?
Right? To the point that I didn't give a shit about them because we didn't get to know any of the kids.
No. Well, there's one that we get to learn, but that's only so that they can manipulate us at the end of the movie into thinking that it's a sad film.
Yeah.
I didn't even get me. I was like, I'm not crying and I'm pregnant. Like, if I'm not crying, there's something wrong here.
I'm so glad someone else said manipulative, because that's what I thought this movie was. It was trying to manipulate your emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. And I felt that quite heavily.
It tried to manipulate every single emotion at a different point. It was like, well, that didn't work. Let's try the funny bone. No, it's not working. Let's try the heart. No, it's not working.
The only thing that worked was the cool soundtrack until the credits where they played R. Kelly.
Terrible.
So fuck this movie.
Yeah. Oof.
One thing I wrote down very early on in the movie, I kind of came up with a fan, not a fan theory, because I'm not a fan of this movie. I came up with a theory of the movie in the first, like, 20 minutes. I was like, hang on a second. This looks like this was filmed in, like, 1997, right?
Yep.
Pre-Matrix for Keanu Reeves, before he was the big star, you know, he's kind of coasting off speed. It feels like it was filmed then, and no one was like, this is not good. Everyone was like, this is terrible. So they just kind of put it on the back burner. Once Matrix came out, big success, they decided to release it, kind of like what they did with whatever that movie is with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley that came out last year. That sort of thing. That's what this film felt like. But no, it was filmed in like 2000 and then released in 2001. But it's so weird that it feels like no one in this movie thinks it's good.
Mm-mm.
No one behind the camera thinks it's good. So it just fails in all aspects.
I don't know how he went so downhill from The Matrix to this film in terms of his performance. Maybe because he knew it was shit and didn't care and just phoned it in. Like how you get out of The Matrix.
Phone it in.
Never mind.
But also, like, his performance is like the depressiveness and hard drinking of Constantine with the mannerisms of Bill and or Ted.
Mm.
Oh my god, he was.
He's acting like he's in a comedy, but the film is so serious that it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I really noticed it when he did that, like, conversation with the lady at the end where he's being, like, weirdly flirty. I was like, what is going on in this movie? I don't know what's happening.
They were just having a normal conversation. He's like, you like me. I can sense it when you laughed. And I was like, I looked at Patty and he said he had his eyes covered. Like, he couldn't watch it. He was so embarrassed.
Yeah, that hurt to watch.
He was so aggressive in everything he did, whether he was angry or, like, flirting or just calmly talking to the kids. He was it was aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Like, when he, like corners her outside the bath. That was weird.
Really weird.
I was like, put your hands down. What are you doing? Anyway.
Hands. He had a lot of hands.
This was a very handsy performance. But Zach, I picked this.
Mm-hmm.
Apology accepted.
You had a couple of other options this week. You had The Glass House, which was a psychological mystery about two orphans.
You didn't choose that one? That sounds very you, Sandro.
The other movie was The Poof Point, which is another Disney Channel movie.
Look, here's the thing. We should probably address the elephant in the room. This film came out September 14th, and that's, you know, 3 days after the 9/11 attack. A lot of movies were removed from studios' release schedules after that. A lot of action movies. It kind of changed the action landscape for quite a few years after that event. And we're probably going to fill that for the next couple of weeks. Just movies, the ones being released are very much, you know, they're more simple escapism for people who just kind of want to, like, go in and smile.
And I was under the impression this was going to be that. It was like a feel-good movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was very comfortable watching this movie. Because I knew the plot of the movie before it even started. Like, I'm going to call the shot. So I was like, cool, I'm not really paying attention. I'm seeing Keanu Reeves doing some bullshit. I was laughing at that. I was having a good time. It's just as fun. And then they pull the rug on you at the end and they, like, shoot a kid.
Yeah, they do that. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
I'm like, what? What is going on? Why would they do this?
Well, because it's a hard, realistic look at life and the projects by a team of entirely white people.
White people.
Yeah.
There was a point that I was like, there's a burning car every night outside their apartments. Like, is this actually realistic? Like, I don't know. I can't really judge. But it didn't feel real. I don't know.
It felt exploitative?
Yes.
Going through the team of this movie, it is all white guys. So it's based off a book by Daniel Coyle from the early 90s called Hardball, A Season in the Projects, which I think is a slightly fictionalized telling of a real Little League team. Because there's some, this is slightly based off real events.
I could see this being a much better movie when it focused on, you know, the kids of the movie and not Keanu Reeves.
I didn't give a shit about him. I just didn't care. Like, I wasn't rooting for him to get to come out the other side. And I don't know, I didn't give a shit about him at all. Also, the setup was just out of the blue. His mate was like, oh, you owe me all this money? Hey, you can just coach this Little League team. I'm like, what?
Does he have? Yeah.
Why are you coaching it for us? Why is the security company coaching a Little League team? Secondly, I thought maybe they would reveal that, like, Keanu used to play ball or something. And, like, nah.
Oh, well. He knows sports.
Oh, yeah, because he bets on them, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That definitely means you know. He clearly doesn't know sport very well the way he's losing.
True.
Yeah.
The book was adapted into a screenplay by John Gattons, who is an award-nominated writer. He wrote the Denzel Washington movie Flight, which got some Oscar noms. He also wrote 2017's Power Rangers, sponsored by Krispy Kreme. He wrote Kong Skull Island.
Hey!
And he also wrote one of Zach and I's favorite movies, Real Steel.
Jesus.
That's not a sentence anyone's ever said.
Oh, no.
What a mixed bag of achievements.
That was going so well.
Power Rangers is not good. I mean, Kong Skull Island is good. I don't know about Power Rangers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised Kong Skull Island is somehow connected to this film, because I quite enjoyed that film.
And the movie is directed by Brian Robbins, best known for comedies. He's the director of the Shaggy Dog remake and Eddie Murphy's Norbit.
Oh, wow. What a piece of art.
Why wasn't this film more comedic? Why was this film so serious?
It tried so hard to be. There was a couple of times where it like said something that I felt was meant to be a joke, but it was really awkwardly not a joke.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like the kids being like, hearing the gunshot and being like, Glock, 23 millimeter. I'm like, are we meant to laugh at that? Because it's not funny.
Yeah.
They left room for laughter and they were like, yeah. And I was like, no.
But Zach, the director, we've seen him in a movie earlier this year.
Whoa.
I'm not going to tell you what the movie is. I'm going to try and make you guess, but I will give you a hint. He's currently the president of Paramount Pictures and Nickelodeon, the director.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
He acted in... Do I just say it?
Give me a hint. Give me a hint. Now, I need something to narrow it down.
The movie was name-dropped in Rick and Morty.
Oh, Bud the Chud?
Yeah, he's the main actor from Chud 2, Bud the Chud. A movie no one remembers.
What is happening? Why is this film just connected to random bullshit?
Yeah, the director of this is now the president of Paramount Pictures. So.
Right, and he acted in this Chud film.
Yes.
What I've learned from that is the actor from Bud the Chud is now the director of Paramount Pictures, which is the best news I've ever heard.
Brian Robbins, there you go.
For the cast, Keanu Reeves is Connor O'Neill. This is a weird point in his career. So Matrix came out, Matrix 2 was in the works, and he decided to do a lot of dramas. And none of them really went down well. He did like one Sam Raimi horror film in the middle of this that people like. But outside of that, it's just a bunch of dramas where like he's known for like rom-coms, action movies and sci-fi. So it's a weird point in his career. And I don't think he's good in this at all. I think he's quite bad.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to argue with you there.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
I won by a technicality. Diane Lane is in this as Elizabeth Wilkes. Fun fact, she was also in Glasshouse, the other film we could have done.
Oh.
She's in both of them. Yeah, she's in Man of Steel and stuff. She's not in this at all.
No. she's the love interest.
Oh, yeah.
Full stop. That's all I have to say about her.
I wouldn't say love interest. I would say... just interest.
Yeah, just interest. She's the interest. Yeah.
Well, she's the only other like female in the movie that's not one of the mums.
Yes.
There's the secretary that we see twice, and that's it in the movie.
My apologies. He does pick up his check from her, and then like scares her.
Oh yeah. Why does she do that?
He's like, thanks. He takes the check, and then he goes like, and gives her a little fright and then laughs. And I'm like, that's not funny, dude. What's going on?
Why would he do that?
John Hawkes is in this from Deadwood. He's Tiki Tony. And one of the kids, Jamal, is played by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
It's his first non-background role in a movie. He's obviously the villain in Black Panther. He's Creed. And he's the best joke in Space Jam 2. That's the best joke in that when he shows up.
Mm.
And they're all like, we've got Michael Jordan. And then he walks out and they're like, oh.
Oh, wrong Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan. Very funny.
That was the only good joke in that film.
He kind of is still a background character in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't do much. He doesn't even, like, his arc doesn't get finished.
Right? It's just like, oh, he's in a gang now? Okay.
Yeah. Because they don't focus on the kids. They focus on Keanu Reeves, like, the entire time. It's sad, because that, I feel like, you could do something with this. I'm sure there's something where you could, if you just focus on either a lighthearted comedy family film or the serious gritty side, if you just focused on one of them, you could have made a much better film. But trying to go halfway, it was bad.
It could be like that movie Fresh that we did during our first year. Like,
yeah, Fresh was really good.
It's kind of like a crime noir from the perspective of a young kid in the projects, I think. And that was really solid.
Yeah, that was great. That was with Samuel L. Jackson, wasn't it?
Yeah. He wasn't.
Yeah, I loved that film. That was great. And it was super gritty, but also threw jokes and other things in.
Thankfully, we're not alone in our hatred of this movie. 41% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, saying that it's a very generic, boring sports film. But here's the thing, though. Critics, negative. Audience, 70%.
What?
Really high. A- cinema score as well. So people liked this at the time. So much so that the soundtrack, which features an original song from Lil Bow Wow, Lil Zane, and Lil Wayne all in one single track, charted. The soundtrack charted.
I mean, there was nothing else at the cinemas, was there, to see? Like, maybe that was just a lot of light in the darkness.
But this cost $32 million. I don't know where that all went.
That burning car in that one scene, I think that was the budget.
Yeah. To light the fire, they threw all the money in.
They threw all the money in, yeah.
What do you think this made in the box office? I'll start with Jen.
I'm really bad because I know nothing about film, like, box office money. Clearly, I don't even know what it's called. Well, more than that, I assume they made more than their budget. Let's say they doubled.
I'm going to guess 50 mil before my brain explodes.
50. This made 44 million.
Hey!
In the box office.
There you go.
It was more. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And the soundtrack, the song called Hardball, which does feature Lil Bow Wow, Lil Zane, and Lil Wayne, which I'd love that exists, has 3 million views on YouTube, and it's an okay song.
Nice.
And there's a point where Lil Wayne, he hits a baseball with a bat, and it goes into space. Jesus. So...
Nice.
Worth adding a view to that.
What? Yeah, that sounds like that was a better movie than this one.
Yeah.
There's two taglines for this movie which are interesting. The first tagline less so, the second tagline quite fun. But the first tagline is, "The most important thing in life is showing up," which I feel like is from another movie.
Yeah, it certainly feels like something like the boxing coach would say to the struggling athlete. You just got to show up, man. You just got to show up.
I guess that kind of applies to both them and Keanu Reeves, because he's got to show up. But he doesn't, like, flunk out or, like, just not show up for practice at any point, you know?
Well, he threatens doing so, but he still shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But he does show up in the end. So this tagline sucks. Boo. Thumbs down.
The second tagline is, "In a place where all bets are off, he's got nothing to lose."
He has so much to lose. He has all of his limbs to lose. He's in such deep shit. I didn't want him to win that bet with the 12 grand. That's how much I hated him. I was like, no, he doesn't deserve to win that bet.
No. This teaches you the wrong message in movies. Yeah. It's like, if you're a piece of shit human being, just coach baseball team for a bit and win a big bet and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be sweet.
William Shakespeare is known for writing many different styles of plays.
He did tragedy. He did comedy. He did tragedy mixed with comedy.
But he never did science fiction.
From the mind of Rob Lloyd and the pen of Keith Gow comes a play that aims to fix that. Shakespeare Aliens. It's James Cameron's Aliens, live on stage in the style of William Shakespeare.
After a hit run of shows during the start of the year, we're back this October for the Melbourne Fringe Festival.
Join us for an hour of action, tension, and puppetry as our cast of characters try to escape the horrors of LV-426.
Featuring performances from friends of the show Cassandra Hart, Danny McGinley.
Oh my gosh!
The two voices you're hearing right now.
Hi, we're Zach and Law.
As well as direction from frequent guest Rob Lloyd.
As an oldie, I take offense to that.
And sound design from one of the hosts of this show.
Do I do commercial radio promo voice?
No.
Shakespeare Aliens at the Melbourne Fringe Festival. That's October 11th to October 15th, 9 p.m. at Gasworks Theatre.
Head to melbournefringe.com.au for more, or check out the link in the episode description.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll jump, like, right into the plot. The first, like, 15 minutes of this movie really is just Keanu Reeves is the worst, and he has made big bets, and he's in debt with everyone, and they're all off threatening to kill him. Well, or at least maim him.
Yeah, break his thumbs. Classic stuff.
We get a long, long sequence of him just walking around from bar to bar being yelled at while horror font is on screen.
Oh my god, yes. Patty said, turned to me during the, like, cold, very long cold open and went, is this meant to be a horror film? Like, is this the right film?
This film opens up with him going in a church, and the first line he says is, I'm looking for the balls to cover the spread.
I didn't know what that meant, so I was like, you've lost me already.
I'm so glad, because I was going to say that me and Sandra are the best people to review this film, because I had no clue what that meant.
I had no idea.
But I'm glad you didn't know, because that was that meant.
Oh, the NBA team, the Bulls, maybe, is what. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what the Bulls are. That's the bit I understood.
Oh, I thought it was something like, it's like a term.
Same, I didn't even think Chicago Bulls, because I didn't know, I had no idea it was about betting. I didn't know that that was the plot.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, like, him walking into a church with a cigarette and a leather jacket, it's just Constantine.
Oh, I was like, I'm sure Sandra's given us Constantine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've sent you the wrong movie.
Yeah.
And there's just some weird stuff. Like, he gets cornered at one point. These guys are going to beat him up. And he's like, you want to kick my ass? No one can kick my ass better than I can. And then he throws himself through some car windows.
Mm.
Yeah, punches a window, headbutts a window.
It's so odd. He gets thrown in jail. The guy who bails him out is like, oh, Keanu Reeves, you've got Zachley's breath. Your yeah. breath smells Zachley like your ass.
Yeah.
Which is a reference, which is straight off of the film Richie Rich.
Oh, is it?
A little kid said, you got Zachley disease where your mouth smells exactly like your butt.
Wow.
P.S. Richie Rich gets a worse rating than this film.
Really?
Right? Worse, according to IMDb.
Wow.
No, it's a great film. Anyway, it's a reference to that, and I use that all the time, that quote. So I was pretty happy to see that, but he didn't deliver it as well.
I'm going to use that more often now.
Also, his friend who bails him out, which is Tiki Tony, looks like Alex Winter as well.
Oh,
so the
he
whole
does.
Time I'm like, can this just be Bill and Ted? But they're like really.
Oh, yeah.
They've grown up and they're in debt. It's the sad future of Bill and Ted.
Woof.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, he goes to the security guy to try and bail him out. And he's like, yeah, I'll pay you $500 a week. If you coach this little league team.
Which isn't enough to cover his debts, but we're going with this. This is the setup. Let's do it. Let's get into the baseball.
Yeah, so here we go. The baseball, he rocks up. There's the kids. They're playing baseball. They come up and talk to him. And the acting for these kids, some of them are okay.
Yeah.
But it's either the script is written, well, I mean, the script is written by white guys, so.
Yeah.
The
script is awful.
But also, the director doesn't know how to, like, it kind of seems like this is the first take for every scene that the kids are in.
Yeah.
Because they're mumbling and fumbling their way through these lines. Jen, like, you message me and you're like, I have no idea what these kids are saying.
I struggled, like. I tried really hard and, like, just, you know, got a lot from context, but then there was this lines that I was like, I have straight up no idea what that kid just said.
Yeah, it's so odd. And I was, like, wearing headphones as well, and even then just couldn't pick up on what some of these kids were saying. And I don't think it's an accent thing. I mean, the accents are strong, but I don't think it's that. I think, because, like, the kids are, like, squinting the whole time too. Like, they're not, I don't know what they're doing.
They're not comfortable.
No, I don't think the director knows how to direct kids. I think that's just what it is.
No, I think they all just went full out and then they were like, great, got the take. Awesome. It was bad.
Well, as a huge fan of child actors, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I thought these kids were great. So you've got naturally the fat, asthmatic kid.
A classic.
You've got the really small kid. Don't get attached to him.
G-baby!
Yeah, because he gets shot.
Yeah.
You got that one kid that listens to music all the time and doesn't talk very much.
Oh, yeah, the headphone kid.
Yeah, the silent one.
He was cool, actually. Although, as soon as he was on the screen, my housemate, like, walked past to let the dog out and was like, oh, I bet at some point that kid's going to lose his headphones and it's going to be a big thing and he'll lose and then
absolutely
something will happen. Yeah. And I was like, yep.
Yeah, because this movie is so unbelievably predictable.
Yeah.
Except for, I will say, I was not expecting a kid to get shot.
No, neither. I picked that asthmatic kid would get beat up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In that scene because he walked home alone. But I did not expect that child to get shot in the directly in the heart.
Yeah, and they showed it on screen. There was blood.
By a stray bullet that could not have been that stray, in my opinion, but straight through the heart.
Yeah.
I was also going to say, they shot one shotgun shell way away from them, but somehow, anyway.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. But yeah, there's a bunch of swearing in this movie too. Even though they censor the rap songs, which I find really funny. It's always like when you've got a movie that's like rated MA for like strong language and you're still censoring DMX. I'm like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, like this is not a kids movie.
No.
I was going to ask that. Who is this film for? Because it's certainly not for kids. It's barely for adults. I don't know who it's meant to be for.
I thought this was going to be like a PG, like kids film.
Mm. I thought it was going to be like Sandlot set in the projects.
Yeah.
Or Mighty Ducks, you know, same kind of trope.
Yeah, oh, Mighty Ducks. Yeah, exactly. Mighty Ducks is a perfect comparison because, like, it doesn't do anything different from those films.
Yeah.
Except for having this super dark layer, which means that kids can't watch it because it's high rating, but it doesn't appeal to anyone else.
What happens? Oh, he has to tutor the kids, but nothing comes of that.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
What?
There's a lot of nothing comes from that in this film.
Oh, how about the amazing scene where they're all on the field and they're all making fun of each other? They're like, oh, you didn't catch the ball, you idiot.
Mm.
And Keanu Reeves is like, all right, new rule. No one can say anything bad about each other on the field.
Yeah.
And then there's silence for a couple seconds, and then they start getting along. That's not how that works.
But then he misses it, or something happens, he goes, what? You're not going to say anything? And they all start laughing. I'm like, you just told them not to say anything, and now you want them to say something? What the
yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah. Oh, and then they start shit-talking again.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but in, like, a nice, funny way.
And, like, the kid who was being the shit-talker, he gives, like, a nod of, like, I respect you now, coach.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? What was that?
It was that easy.
And then they play a game and they only get a single point, but they're so happy about it. That was kind of nice.
That was nice. And they all got taken for pizza.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for in this film. Like the silly kids sports film, which is great. And then they're like, hey, so are we going to get trophies at the end of this? You know, after this game where they lost by like 15 points because they only got 1 point and they got absolutely shit on. They're like, oh, we're going to make it to the big leagues. We're going to get the trophy.
We're going to get to the ship.
The ship. Yeah, the championship. I thought they were saying shit the whole time.
Going to the shit.
We find out what the kid with the headphones is listening to in a pretty funny scene.
Yeah.
Where Keanu Reeves is like, he's really good. What does he listen to? Well, he listens to the same song over and over again. Big Pauper by the Notorious B.I.G., who was dead at this point, so I don't know why they didn't do some sort of tribute to him.
I thought it was weird, though, because I'm glad they got there in the end, but the whole, like, he takes his headphones out and then he really, really struggles kind of thing, and I'm like, it took them too long to get to the point where the rest of the team sung. Just like baby G-Baby comes out to bat and suddenly it goes all black and it's them going home and him getting shot. And I was like, did they win? Like, it took them too long to get to the flashback.
Oh, yeah, the editing on that was really so bad.
Because they showed it while he was speaking at the funeral.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
That was so odd.
It was so weird of a choice, and I was very surprised that this was the way the movie went. I was also quite upset because I was like, oh, this is a kid's film. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'm going to, you know, just enjoy myself with a stupid kid's film, you know.
Yeah, and then you've got to deal with child death.
Yeah.
Yeah, this child death, and he was such a good little boy, and I was upset.
I liked G-Baby. He looked like a little old man.
He was a little old man.
He looked like a little old man, he did.
Yeah,
he did, he did. But that's such a weird, because there's another the plot point that leads into the death of G-Baby was they have to kick Michael B. Jordan off the team because he's 2 weeks too old.
Yeah, it was so weird because they had that multiple times was the age problem.
And then when he's kicked off the team, he just joins the gang and nothing happens. That's the
I was like, okay, so there's going to be like a gang shooting and Jamal's going to, I don't know, he's going to come out and save them or something, or he'll come good or he'll get back on the team.
Yeah, it would have made more sense, I feel, for this sort of film to have him be the one that gets shot and they get all depressed over, you know? Because if he had stayed in the sports team, he wouldn't have joined the gang, you know?
Right.
Keanu Reeves, he's got a big bet happening. They watch the game through the window of a bar, which is a scene. They burst in and they start rapping.
Oh, that's probably Jen's favourite scene. She loves Keanu Reeves' story.
Oh, fucking hell.
Don't you love it when they win the big bucks and then they go into the bar and just start singing and harassing people?
Yes.
Also, that bartender wasn't a good actor either.
No, he was quite bad.
His little moment when he was like, bye-bye, past your bedtime, or nanas, or whatever, and I was like,
yeah.
There are such high stakes in this film, but I don't believe any of them in any of the scenes. There's no tension.
He's meant to be, like, the nice guy as well.
And then he goes turns into a complete dickhead.
Yeah, exactly. He goes between both of them constantly, and it's weird.
And Keanu slams his beer down on the bar like I imagine Ted would slam his beer down on. He's just held onto those Ted mannerisms.
It's this, yeah, like all the mannerisms, the big hands, his hands are always out.
He's really jerky.
His head's always kind of moving whenever he's talking. Yep. Yeah, like jerky, he's lanky. If he was doing the voice, this would be an odd movie, but it would be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he thinks he's in a lighthearted sort of kids film thing.
Does
you know?
He?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I feel like he thought he was in the film I thought he was in, you know?
Yeah, because he's acting like it's quite silly, I guess. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, but we do get a pretty good quote, though. He's, the next morning, he's woken up by his friend who's like, knock, 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 let me in. Because earlier in the movie, he came over to Keanu Reeves' house and brought some guys that wanted to hurt him and get the money back. But this time, he's like, no, look, I'm alone. I'll get naked to prove I'm alone. All right, I'm naked now. I'm going to slide my nuts along the door until you let me in. What?
What?
Yeah.
I was very confused. I also had given up at this point, though.
Yeah. This is at the end of the movie. because, yeah, like, he's going to quit. He's got the money now. He's done with the Little League team. But then he just decides that he's not.
Yep.
That's it.
And he tries to leave, like, three times and then returns to them.
Yes.
In that scene.
Yeah, there's this whole tension. It's like, oh, I wonder if he's going to go and bet the money. Oh, I wonder if he's going to leave the team. Oh, I mean, and there's zero tension.
No.
Because you know exactly what he's going to do at the end.
Takes him to a baseball game.
Yeah.
In a non-existent stadium in Chicago somewhere. I've never seen that stadium.
Where Sammy Sosa is a part of a team.
Yep.
On the green screen.
Yeah, and turns around and gives the kids a wink.
Really awkward. That whole... Really awkward.
That's so weird.
What are you saying? Are you saying this baseball player was not a good actor and...
Definitely wasn't there when they filmed it.
Yeah, and people in sports games probably shouldn't be acting.
Oh, come on.
What?
Some of them are okay. Some of them are all right.
Sammy Sosa, he had a drug testing controversy a couple years after this movie came out.
Nice.
Sure did.
Anyway, the team's great. They're winning games left, right, and center. Keanu Reeves and Diane Lane, we haven't talked about her. She's not important. She's a teacher.
Oh, yeah. She's in this movie.
He likes her. She's apparently feels the same way. I didn't believe it.
The way she just kissed him at the game, I was like, wait, we didn't build up to this. Why are they kissing?
Well, they had 10 minutes of her in the film, so she falls in love with them. That's how it works.
Of course.
I mean, you would.
And yeah, the boys, they say they're going to win the championship, and then the movie ends, and we cut to them with trophies. We don't even get to see the championship game.
Again, not enough baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut out 10 to 15 minutes from the start of the film and give me the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a shit film with no content. I propose, look, so here's the thing. We would all rate this an oldie, I assume.
Yep.
Yep.
But I feel like it's worse than an oldie. I think this has got no content. No one cares about this. This is a January movie.
Well, you can't even get it on, like, it's not on anything. Can't hire it. Can't. It's just, that's pretty telling.
No, it's only on YouTube. I just think this is a nothing movie that feels like something you dump in January. Like, this is something that you dump, no one would go see it. The only reason it made money is because, you know, a big tragedy happened and this was the only thing out that people could escape into the cinemas to see.
Yeah, there was literally nothing else to watch, yeah. So they just got lucky.
It had all the pieces to be good and just jumbled them all up.
This movie made me very sad because of the ending. And I was like, I am now just very sad. And the whole, like, wholesome, they get back together to win the championship had no effect on that. I was just depressed.
Also, like, to, like, threaten, I'd be like, oh, no, they're going to cancel the ship game because, you know, of G-Baby. And it's like, let the kids fucking play baseball. It's the only thing in their lives. And you're going to pull the game out from under them? Like, what?
I reckon January Movie Award. No one needs to see this ever.
Yep.
It's worse than an oldie and one of the worst films of the year that we've done because this is, I mean, the episode length goes to prove how much we've got to say about this.
Yep. I think that's about it.
I'm so upset.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to 100 Horrors, a comedy podcast that seeks to rank the best 100 horror films of all time, as dictated to us by a poster that one of us owns.
Every week we bicker over another film in an attempt to give it an overall scare factor and secure its place in the 100 Horrors list.
With features such as...
Little Witches! But at least I won't die like that.
And...
What would you say to them at a funeral?
We take a light-hearted approach to horror cinema so that it can be enjoyed by even the most squeamish of listeners. So whether you're the person who's never seen a horror film in their life or the person who has a tattoo of Leatherface on the right arse cheek, there's something to be enjoyed in every episode of 100 Horrors!
Let's come up with a sequel to this movie. I reckon that could be fun. Maybe.
The team's going to be called the G-Babies, obviously.
Oh, I like that. But we do, of course, have to cross it over with another movie we've done on the podcast. Random number generator will give me a number of an episode. Crossover between Hardball and the movie from that episode number. Number 29. Episode 29 is what it has given me.
Okay.
That is during our first year. That's a film from it's a film. From the 90s, oh my god, it's Lassie.
What? Oh, well, this is easy. We just do an Air Bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no rule in baseball that dogs can't play baseball.
Dogs play baseball. I mean, hey, it's going after the ball, I guess.
Yeah.
There is a dog, a golden retriever in the minor leagues that is called the bat dog, and when the batter hits the ball, and if he runs to base and drops the bat, the dog runs out and collects the bat. So it could be... You know, it could be a beautiful story about a bat dog called Lassie who gets shot in the heart.
Okay, so Lassie is trained up to be a bat dog. The wrong breed, but it's fine.
But she's too smart. Like, she's too smart to just be a bat retriever, I think.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, starts to play the game.
Yeah, she also starts to play the game. So she retrieves the bat, but then, like, one of the kids falls over, and so Lassie goes and grabs the ball and fetches it for him.
Yeah.
Oh, there's got to be, like, a scene where I don't know, they're all finished up for the night. The dude's about to turn the lights off and he's like, oh, I forgot my whatever on the field. And it's just Lassie out there with the bat in her, bat in her teeth in the batting cage, just hitting home runs.
Yeah.
And he's like, am I dreaming? No one believes him, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the main character? Like, is Keanu back?
It would be pretty funny to see Keanu Reeves as this character in a movie about a dog that can play baseball. Maybe the bad coach also, like the coach of the other team, they've got to go up against that coach. And the coach is like, a dog can't play baseball. And they do that whole, like, illegal, what are the rules? Yeah. They got to go up against the little league bosses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's already accepted Lassie as a player on their team because they never specified it was a human.
But Lassie's like 9 years old, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Nine in dog years.
She's only three, but in dog years, she's over the limit. And you're right, like, there's a loophole. There's nothing in the contract that says it can't be a dog.
Exactly, exactly. And they already have, like, the coach's signature to sign it off or something. So you go, you signed off on it. Yes. You'd never checked if it was a dog. And, of course, they lose a player near the end and they have to get Lassie in and Lassie, you know.
And everyone's laughing
at them.
They're the butt of the joke because they're the really shit team as well.
There's going to be a bad boy pitcher that's been pitching them out all game that everyone hates. And he's like, oh, ho, ho, hey, doggy, you want to fetch?
There's got to be like a, I think also like a, once they realize she's really good, or he, yeah, or whatever, she's really good.
Yeah.
There's like some ball tampering going on. So like, I don't know, there's like a laser on the ball that distracts her, or like they try and give her treats. The outfield is like trying to distract her, you know, here, batter, batter, batter.
They throw one of those treat balls.
Yeah.
Instead of a baseball at
she
one point.
She catches it in her mouth instead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then originally Lassie is fouled, but then they're like, hey, they threw a thing ball and they both get fouled or something, you know.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They bring like a male dog or you know, try and breed her off. I don't know. A
sexy male dog.
And it's called Lassie and the G-Babies because the team's called the G-Babies, I guess.
Absolutely. And that's the only reference to Hardball.
Yeah.
It's one of those sequels that barely references the first film. Well, if you do want to feel better, Zach, because you're so sad about Hardball, go and look up videos of these bat retrieval dogs. They're very sweet.
I have already got one up ready to go. It's very cute.
Yes.
It's got the little bats in the mouth. They just play fetch. Huh. They're good boys.
Yeah. There's one where the batter forgets, like he goes and picks his own bat up and the crowd are like, no, put it down. He's like, oh shit, sorry. Throws it back on the ground.
Everybody's like, no, don't you dare touch that fucking bat.
Don't you touch that fucking bat.
And also, the movie sounds good, and I would watch it. Zach, let's do some reviews.
All right. It's time for raving reviews. It's the part of the show where I go to Rotten Tomatoes. Usually, I go to the audience for the correct opinion, but the audience had quite a lot of high opinions. So, last week, the audience was objectively correct. This week, the audience might have been a little mistaken. How this works is I'll tell you guys a review, and you two have to guess the score that they rated it.
Mm.
Right.
The scores go from 0.5 to 5, so remember there's 0.5s. And one of these reviews is not like the others, because I wrote it. This week it might be a little obvious, but you know what? Sometimes
no effort is the best option.
Yeah, sometimes you just go with the first thing you think of. All right.
That's what this movie did.
Yep.
And we're going to guess which review your one is for an... I can't remember. I think you've beaten me every time at this game.
Great. Let's keep it that way.
Oh.
I don't remember.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're ready to go, so we'll start this off. Donovan says, horrid movie. Top billed Diane Lane appeared for all of perhaps 10 minutes.
Mm.
Such a romance. Ruffle.
Ruffle.
Is this written in 2008?
I mean, I like the term horrid because we don't use that enough. It was horrid.
Yeah.
2 out of 5.
I'll go 1 out of 5.
Ah, well, Sandro gets the point this time because it is 1 out of 5.
Okay.
All right.
Bit more negative than you expected. Perhaps Leonard, you're more on his level, he said, why would they allow kids to use profanity so much? That's a wasted opportunity.
What?
5 stars. 5 out of 5.
A wasted opportunity for what?
I don't understand that at all.
It's very simple, guys. I'll say it again if you didn't, for some reason, understand it. Why would they allow kids to use profanity so much? Explanation mark, question mark. That's a wasted opportunity, explanation
mark. Did you get this off Common Sense Media? Where's this review from? I don't know. I mean, if someone hates kids swearing, they would hate this movie, so maybe 0.5? I'll go 0.5, why not?
Ooh, a bold statement.
I read it as, like, a missed opportunity to let them swear more.
Oh.
It's a weird, look, I'll give you this, it's a weird fucking review.
1.5.
Once again, Sandro's correct, it is 0.5.
All right.
They were very upset for some reason with the swearing. I don't know this review.
It's a middle-aged white person from Florida.
From Florida?
Specifically.
Speaking of white people from Florida, Kevin says, a touching sports tale with enough memorable moments to overcome the lackluster cast.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't have enough memorable moments. I don't remember most of it.
Are you saying you disagree with this review?
I disagree with this review. Sounds like he's kind of on the fence, but positively trending. So maybe like 3.5?
3.5, okay.
Ooh, that's a good guess. That's a good guess.
Ooh, I don't want to go that close to your score, but I think I will because I agree. Positive, but on the fence. I'm going to go 3.
Ah, well, Jen gets the point because it's actually 3.5.
Hey, yes.
On the ball.
Nice.
On the hardball.
On the hardball.
Ah!
Why is this movie
called Hardball also? We're just about to say it. Did you just say that, Sandra?
Yeah. Well, I like how we just were all like, wait a minute. Why is this called Hardball?
Yeah, I don't know.
Russ says, boy, I love it when my sports movie pulls a fast one and shoots a child.
Oh, my God. I don't know. This is your review, and it is a... what would you give this? 1. I'll say 1.
I agree. I think it's Zach. Also, you missed opportunity to use the term fastball, but yep, pull a fastball on us.
Of course. I'm such an idiot.
Yeah, I reckon 1.5. No, nah, 0.5.
Ooh.
Is that the lowest you can give something?
Yes, 0.5 is the lowest.
Yeah, 0.5.
Well, I'm a bit more forgiving, unfortunately. You should have gone with your first thought. It was 1.5.
Ooh. Damn it.
No one gets a point because we're not playing by closest wins this time. That's right.
Whoa, that's a bold statement.
Yes, I made the rules.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. I mean, you're the one who misses out on the points.
We both guessed it was your review. Do we get points?
Yeah,
it's my review. You both get points. Shut up.
Yes, 2 extra points.
I I find my review funny, so I couldn't change it because I thought it was funny. Anthony says, better than expected kids film? Does not reinvent the wheel, but it keeps it rolling.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's not a kid's
look,
film.
I said it how it has, with no question marks.
I don't understand.
Doesn't reinvent the wheel, but keeps it rolling. Toward what? Like, the baseball film? I hate these reviews even more than I hated the film.
Oh, I could have made it worse. I could have got the positive reviews.
Oh, jeez. I think it might be another... 3.5.
I'll go 4, actually. I'm going to go more positive.
Ah, well, it's actually 2 out of 5.
What?
Oh.
Yep. It's Ryan who says, I do not understand why this film received a lower rating than Human Centipede. In what world is that right?
What a comparison.
Yeah.
What?
He loved Human Centipede by the sound of it.
A couple weeks ago, we did a special version of Raving Reviews, which was, is it better or worse than Over the Hedge? No, fuck that. Is this better or worse than the Human Centipede?
Yeah, what a comparison.
What a yardstick to use. Like, Human Centipede is my benchmark.
Yeah, no, I think they hated Human Centipede because they didn't like the fact that this film received a lower rating.
A lower rating than... Human Centipede, which is the worst movie of all time.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those movies that I would never watch personally.
No, neither.
Got no interest. As far as that review goes, it's got to be 0.5, surely.
Does that not mean they like this film if they're surprised it got a lower rating?
Yeah, oh, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So Sarjo's already locked in 0.5, even though he's definitely wrong. Jen, what do you think they actually rated it?
I can't tell if that, it's hard to say if they actually liked it or they're just surprised that it was rated worse. I like floating around the threes, so we'll go a straight three.
Oh, you were so close. It was 2.5. Oh, it was 2.5.
And is that the last review?
Yes, that was the last review. There we go.
Well, turns out that we were playing by closest wins because Jen does get a point for that final one. Congratulations
yeah.
for that point. Oh, which means that we both got 3 points, which means that we're both winners. Oh, that means that you can plug stuff, Jen.
What have I got to plug, Sandro?
I don't know. The back catalogue of Nerdhouse.
Yeah.
At the moment, yeah. I've got nothing going on in my life other than growing a human life inside of me, and I'm not going to plug that.
This episode is brought to you by...
Baby Bunting. No, I've got nothing to plug. I'm not doing anything creative at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, but in the future, you will.
I will.
A plug, yeah. The back catalogue of Nerdhouse. It'll be back at some point.
I'd love it to. I'd really love it to be back. I miss it. It's been a rough year for me. It's been hard to get us together, but we'll be back and we'll be, I look forward to it.
Indeed. But thank you so much for coming on this episode. It was a rough one, but I think it was a fun, short, brief discussion of a bad thing that we all watched.
Sorry for making you watch this one.
I'm just so glad that my baseball knowledge could come in not at all handy for this film at all.
Well, you said the term fastball, so I think...
True.
Yeah, you improved my joke. I'll write that down. There we go.
You're welcome. There we go. It was all worth it then.
But yeah, that's the episode. Thanks for coming on and thanks for listening. If you like the show, first of all, thank you. Sometimes it's hard when we do movies like this and the Othello one, but you know, sometimes we get last week, and that's good. Mm. We're on Instagram, at OldieButtyGoodyPod on everything. That's also the same address on Facebook. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, if you wouldn't mind giving us a rating. That really helps out get the show in front of more people, actually. It's surprisingly helpful when people do that.
We're on Twitch at Sandro Felte, and by that I mean Sandro's on there.
I'm on Twitch. I do stuff on Twitch. I got affiliate. I've got emojis of my cat's face.
I love that.
I am on Twitch. Zach, you'll be on Twitch soon, but one thing that we're both on is patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodypod, where you can get ad-free episodes of this show and bonus episodes, including that 6-part series on Nicolas Cage, It's All Out, and also out right now, as voted on by our Patreons, is an alternate option from earlier in the year, the New Zealand comedy starring Carl Urban, The Price of Milk, which I mentioned last week. I couldn't find it, but Ben helped us out, and we reviewed that up on Patreon, so check that one out if you want. I reckon it's pretty fun, Zach.
Yeah.
A lot of New Zealand accents and cows.
Fantastic.
Also, shout out to Josh Cake for our theme song. Shout out to That's Not Canon Productions, our network, for everything that they do. And yeah, links to all the things in the episode description. Zach, you've got to pick next week's episode.
All right. I can't see anything going wrong.
Well, you've got one American movie.
Oh,
came out next week.
Well, that's surprising.
And it's called Glitter. It's about Mariah Carey. She's a singer who makes it real big, and she's got to choose between personal relationships or being a star.
Great. What's the other options?
The other option comes to us from Japan. It is Vampire Hunter D,
ooh.
Bloodlust.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds cool.
It's an anime film, a sequel to a movie from the 80s, about vampires in the future who are in danger of extinction.
Okay, hear me out, Sandro. As much as I'd love to do whatever the fuck the first one was, as much as I'd love to do that, we did an anime film last week, and that was great.
Mm.
And I feel like I want to have that again.
Really?
Yeah. I'd like to pick the anime Vampire Future one, because that sounds fun.
Vampire Hunter D, it is a sequel to a film from the 80s.
Yep.
And you will probably have to watch that, and then I'll go in blind, not knowing anything, and just loving anime. I love anime so much.
Yeah, that's your one key character feature, is that how much you love anime.
I love it.
That's your whole personality, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, how much I hate. I mean, I love anime.
You need to stop talking about anime so much, Sandra. God.
All right, well then next week we'll do Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, and we'll wrap it up with the best quote from Hardball. Did you have a quote, Jen?
No, I didn't. None of them. because the script was shit.
Yeah, it's true.
There you go. That's my favorite quote.
Hey, if you don't have a quote, you could always make up one.
I will slide my balls under the door until you let me in.
Oh no!
There it is.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so visceral.
Oh yuck.
Mine is the stolen one. You have Zach Lee's breath.
Oh, yeah.
Smell like Zach Lee, like your ass. Ha ha!
Hey!
So funny.
Alright, I'm on IMDb. The best quote is, "You suck just like my girlfriend."
That's right!
Someone said that in this movie.
That was like one of the very early quotes. That's very funny.
No, the best quote is, "We're done." That's the end of the episode.